The continued violence in Iraq has temporarily reduced media attention on the ongoing struggles between the Jews and Arabs in Palestine. What will be the outcome to this struggle that has continued for many centuries? Will the Jews be pushed into the sea as some in the PLO have predicted? What are the roots of the Jew-Arab conflict, and what are the solutions? Well, these are the headlines, and in a moment we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
You know, it's really become a never-ending nightmare. Arab children strapping explosives to their bodies and sacrificing themselves in the name of Islam. David Palmer reports on this continuing tragedy.
Lured by promises of financial stability for their families, eternal martyrdom, and unlimited sex in the afterlife, dozens of young militant Palestinians aspire to blow themselves up. Their goal? To kill or injure as many Jews as possible. In Hamas-run kindergartens, signs on the walls read, "The children of the kindergarten are the holy martyrs of tomorrow." The classroom signs at a university in the West Bank and at Gaza's Islamic University say, "Israel has nuclear bombs, we have human bombs." At an Islamic school in Gaza City run by Hamas, a young Palestinian student's small frame and boyish smile are deceiving. They mask a determination to kill at any cost. "I will make my body a bomb that will blast the flesh of Zionists, the sons of pigs and monkeys," he says. "I will tear their bodies into little pieces and cause them more pain than they will ever know." The boy is 11 years of age. Gary?
You know, David, because of attacks in their country, Russia has now promised to launch strikes against terrorists anywhere on the globe.
Russia has denounced Western countries for granting asylum to Chechen leaders, Gary, and is pushing the United Nations to take tougher action against terrorism. A resolution to that effect has been circulated to the UN Security Council. The Russian foreign minister put forward a proposal saying there can be no double standards in defining terrorists. Those who slaughtered school children in Russia and hijacked airplanes to attack America are creatures of the same breed, he said, in a forceful speech to the UN General Assembly. Harboring terrorists, he went on to say, undermines the unity and mutual trust of parties to the anti-terrorist front and encourages them to commit similar crimes in other countries. The Russian draft stresses the need for the 15 Council nations to cooperate fully in tracking down the perpetrators and organizers of terrorist attacks. But like the U.S., they also made it clear that with or without the assistance from other countries, Russia will hunt down and deal with terrorists wherever they find them.
Thanks, David. We welcome to the Good News Radio studio a minister in the United Church of God and senior writer for the Good News magazine, Jerry Ost. Thanks, Jerry, for being here.
Thanks, Gary, for having me.
You know, every time we watch the latest video clip of the seemingly never-ending struggle between Palestinian Arabs and Jews, the tragedy becomes just more and more numbing. For many people in the Western world, it seems really insane to watch people strap explosives onto their children, bless them, and then send them out to sacrifice their lives as suicide bombers.
That's just beyond anything I can think of that makes good sense. You know, in our cultures, you well know, Gary, this kind of child sacrifice is almost beyond belief. How many Americans do you know who would even consider the possibility of strapping bombs to their beloved children and then send them into public gatherings just so they can strike terror in other people's minds and hearts? I mean, you got two great big problems here. The purpose of the concept of suicide bombers is to create panic and fear in the minds of Jewish families and get them to surrender or just simply move out of their homeland. That's the biggest thing there.
So you don't think that the Palestinian leaders' real intention is to create a lasting peace with Israel?
No. I certainly do not. I'm trying my very best to be objective about it and not partisan. But, I mean, it is not the Jewish children that are being sent among the Palestinians, is it? I mean, it can't be that. We see that on the media. Now, some Palestinians are quick to point the finger at a number of high-ranking Jews whom the Palestinians identify as terrorists. And I guess that if you really looked in the history of it, you'd probably say, well, yeah, they're right. Yet history, and even and especially current events, show that some Palestinian leaders are themselves terrorists. But to answer your question, no, I don't think that Palestinian Arabs will ever have a lasting peace with the Jews in the foreseeable future. And I think for some very good reasons.
Okay, what are some of those reasons that you don't think this peace is going to happen?
Well, let's just start with the historical, throw in a little cultural and religious reasons. And if you don't mind, we have time here, we can cover the biblical reasons a little bit later. Now, I'm saying biblical as opposed to religious, of course. This won't be lengthy. Most Palestinian and Middle East Arabs are Muslims, not all of them, whereas Jews, to varying degrees, follow Judaism. Now, religious preferences put the Jews and Arabs at loggerheads. I know that this is really basic. We all understand this. The Jews believe that their religion starts with Israel and the tabernacle, later the Solomonic Temple. They also believe that their right to the Holy Land dates back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Arabic Muslims follow their Islamic beliefs that date back to Muhammad in the 6th and 7th century. I thought it was interesting not too long ago. I checked a writing by Thomas Carlyle, who gave his perspective of Islam and the Islamic followers' belief. I think it's important for us and for our listeners to take note of this. Here's what he wrote about the mind of the Islamic follower. Not all of them, to be sure. Islam must submit to God, that our whole strength lies in resigned submission to Him, whatever He does to us, the thing He sends to us, even if death, and worse than death, shall be good, shall be best. We resign ourselves to God. So Islamic belief is serious business and can be deadly. Now, considering Islamic belief, there's a lot at stake here, and the ongoing differences and conflicts between Jews and Arabs can't just be summarily and quickly swept under the rug. But we can know whether the Jews will survive as a small group surrounded by a sea of Islamic Arabs.
You know, you mentioned the biblical perspective, and of course that is different than the religious perspective.
Correct.
There's a lot of religions.
That's right.
So after the break, I want to come back and let's talk about the biblical perspective on this subject.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the Middle East, be sure to request your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232. Who will write the next chapter in the history of this troubled region? Believe it or not, the final chapters are already written, prophesied centuries ago in the pages of the Bible. Ominously, they mesh remarkably well with today's headlines. In our free booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation. So call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're talking with Jerry Oss, senior writer for the Good News magazine, about the Jew-Arab conflict, which seems to really dominate so much of even the geopolitics of the globe. Jerry, before the break, you mentioned the biblical viewpoint. You know, we've been talking about the Arab viewpoint, and we talked about the Jewish viewpoint. What is the biblical viewpoint?
I tell you, the Bible is so clear on the ongoing struggles between the Jews and Arabs. And I think it's really important for our listeners to realize this. Not too long ago, and I'm departing from a thought here, I'll get right back on it, I was listening to someone in my locale where I live, and the individual didn't believe as I did, but he was saying to me, do you realize what really started this problem between the Jews and Arabs? So that's what we're getting to. Apparently he found this out in the Bible. Well, for one thing, they, that is the Jews and the Arabs, see themselves as brothers. In truth, they are half-brothers, if you're looking at Ishmael, for example, because both had Abraham as their father. Of course, the Jews had Isaac more directly, and Ishmael was the father of some, not all of the Arabs, perhaps. This really gets pretty complicated. When I was in Jordan in 1989, one of our Jordanian guides asked me how their brothers in Israel were, and I said to him, well, the Jordan River is not that wide. We'd gotten to know one another a little bit. I said, all you have to do is go across that Allenby Bridge and go over and see them. He said, no, we can't do it. We love them, this guy said, and I'd like to know how our brothers are doing. And when you go over there, will you tell them that we still love them and we'd like to get together with them? I thought that was so incredible. So he was close enough in the Jordan River, just to cross that Jordan River, to find out for himself, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. There were media reports available, especially the BBC, not local. And biblically, the first thing people should understand that this is an ancient family fight.
Okay, so if the Bible's the truth then, and it gives us the insight into this, where do we go to find where this ancient anger and hatred and yet love? I mean, it's such a mixed bag of emotions.
You're right.
Where do we go in the Bible to understand how this began?
My, it's a long story. Let me just shorten it. One of the significant places can be found in Genesis chapter 16. There you will find the people who have descended from Ishmael. I would say that the Arabs are, of course, in my mind at least, having been on both sides of the Jordan River, are a little angrier at the Jews than the Jews at the, you know, against the Arabs. The Israel was given a homeland in Israel. The Jews were given a homeland in what we call Israel today in 47. And before that time, the Arabs were stirred up against the Jews. But that must have been under the surface, because once they got their homeland, then the PLO, the charter for the Palestine Liberation Organization, was chartered, was set up, and so they set themselves to expel the Jews. But let's go back to Genesis 16. And the scripture I think that is vitally important for our listeners to know about can be found in chapter 16, 11 through 12. It says here, "And the angel of the Lord said to her," that's Hagar, "Behold, you are with child."
Now, Hagar was the... Okay, Sarah was the wife of Abraham. Hagar was the handmaiden, right?
Precisely. And that was really became a big, great contention between them. "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man." Notice, "and every man's hand against him." And notice as well, "he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Now, many of the Arabs are descendants of, not all of them, of Abraham and Hagar, while we know that the Jews are descendants of Abraham through Sarah. And you brought to our attention that Sarah was, of course, the wife of Abraham, and Hagar was the helper of Sarah. And so this begins the centuries-old struggles between the Jews through Isaac and Jacob, and the Arabs, through Ishmael, and then later on, this doesn't even account for Esau, who was Jacob's twin brother, and other Palestinian descendants as well.
So really, the Jew-Arab problem, you know, isn't... It'd be nice if it was just a clean-cut issue between religion or culture, but this is a millennium-old or millennia-old family squabble.
That really no end. This is one of them. In fact, the struggle of Palestine from Joshua to this day is a jealous fight, first between Israel, the 12 tribes, and Ishmael's descendants, and finally the modern Jews and Arabs. There has been so much confusion over where Israel went. Could Israel exist today? Are the Jews the totality of ancient Israel and so on? Those things need to be cleared up. Historically and biblically, if Judah were threatened by invaders, the Arabic nations tried to take advantage of Israel. You can find that back in the Old Testament. When some of the Jews, for example, came back to Palestine to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the temple, there were regular incursions against them from their Arabic neighbors, as well as Edomite neighbors as well. So, again, they've been after the Jews. They couldn't win for losing.
You know, when we look at the violence in the Middle East, we're witnessing troubles, as we've been talking about here in today's program, that have been played out for literally for centuries. So in the next segment, we want to try and answer, will the fighting between the Jews and Arabs ever stop? If it will, when and how? But first, we want to tell you how to get your free copy of The Middle East in Prophecy. This easy-to-read booklet will really help you understand the root causes of the Jew-Arab conflict and how this conflict has gone on for centuries. It has to do with the very covenants that God has given. It has to do with where the Messiah would come. This conflict is truly essential to understand, even to understand Christianity. You no longer need to be in the dark about the great troubles in the Middle East and how it will work out. So get out a pen, write down the number, call and get your free booklet, and we'll be right back after this.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the Middle East, be sure to request your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232. Who will write the next chapter in the history of this troubled region? Believe it or not, the final chapters are already written, prophesied centuries ago in the pages of the Bible. Ominously, they mesh remarkably well with today's headlines. In our free booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation. So call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
Before the break, Jerry and I were exploring what the Bible says about the current and it seems like never-ending Jew-Arab struggle. The Bible says that this whole thing goes back to the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, who were half-brothers. And this gives us a good source to build on and to better understand why there's been no lasting peace in the Middle East. It just goes on and on. Now, Jerry, what do you see for the immediate and ultimate future regarding the Jews and the Arabs? I mean, will this ancient half-brother fight ever end?
You know, thankfully it will, but not tomorrow and not for a number of years. Don't know exactly how many, of course. All of the peace brokers, all of the peace treaties that have been hammered out in recent years, and we've seen them on television, we've seen our presidents do that, you know, they're not really worth the paper that they're written on. I'm not putting anyone down by saying that. Based, of course, on the scripture and the promises of Christ. The answer is simple. They can't get to the heart of the problem because they are part of the problem. Again, no put down. It's just the way it works out. Peace in the Middle East, especially in Israel, can never be achieved because a lasting peace can only come about by someone much greater than the two parties involved. Now, the problems in Israel between the Arabs and the Jews cannot rise any higher than the best that conventional wisdom allows for.
Okay. So we have to find unconventional wisdom. Now, where in the world are we going to go to find unconventional wisdom? I mean, the UN or the U.S., where do we go to find that?
Now, that would be conventional, I think. But I appreciate your question, yes. The most unconventional wisdom that you can find on Earth today, for the most part, in my mind, if not in the mind of a lot of our listeners, has to do with the Bible. The answer to this question is also the answer to all fighting and to all wars that have ever taken place around the earth. You know, the Apostle James wrote in James chapter 4 that fighting and war come from inside us. He deals with jealousy and greed. And he says that jealousy and greed of human beings precipitate war, precipitate, of course, the bombings and the death that follows. That's the real problem, Gary, in Israel, as everywhere else. Human nature cannot solve its own problems because it is unerringly, incurably, it contributes to it.
So what you're saying is that human beings, we can't have we can't find or create long-term solutions because until we accept that we are the problem.
Oh, that is so beautiful. How true that is. We are the problem. And knowing that we are the problem, I think, is half the battle. Finding out what is beyond ourselves is the problem, is the other part of it, because, and that relates directly to God. God is the answer to the Arab-Jew fighting and all of the wars. Only God has lasting peace, and his peace is based on his law. A lot of people don't understand this. It's so simple. God's laws show the love of God for mankind. You can find that in 1 John 5:3, where God's law, I'm using them interchangeably, they can be, where God's love exists, there you'll find peace. That's lasting peace, godly peace. No nation on earth, to this point, into the future, will ever experience lasting peace because they can't know God's peace until he reveals it to them, until he gives it to them. Someone once said, peace is not just the absence of war. Humans have operated from time immemorial saying, assuming falsely, that peace is and only is the absence of war. Big mistake.
Well, you know, and I guess that it sounds like a panacea, or it sounds like, well, this is not a realistic viewpoint. Well, the reality is this is the only realistic viewpoint, because the reality is that as long as nations vie for political and economic power, there's going to be war. So what you're saying is that until the Creator intervenes in the affairs of humankind, there's not going to be an end to the Jew-Arab fighting. There's not going to be an end to war, period.
I mean, precisely that. God says that humankind will never of themselves experience lasting, permanent peace until he sends the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, to this earth to bring to mankind his peace. If our listeners want to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 sometime and read that, they'll see that. The Prince of Peace is coming. Now, before God's 1,000-year peaceful kingdom is established on this earth, which he has promised to do, humanity will continue to languish in fear. They'll be under terrorist threats. They'll be in wars, and they will see a lot of deaths. But know this. God promised his peace. He's going to bring it to pass. Guaranteed through the promise made by God when Jesus was born. For example, in Luke 2:14, we use this, a lot of people use this during Christmas time. It has a great deal of meaning for us. It says here, and on earth, and I'm excerpting this, peace, goodwill toward men. A big part of God's will toward men is peace, his peace. And that's good news for the Jews and the Arabs, and also for the entire world. The God of peace will someday bring his peace to this earth. That's good news.
That's good news. That's why we call this program The Good News. Thanks for being here and letting us have a little more insight to the really only permanent answer for lasting peace that will finally be brought to this world with the return of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for the opportunity, Gary. Appreciate it.
The reasons for the ongoing troubles and threats to the Middle East are because people don't understand that the problem lies within themselves. The Bible tells us why the Jews and Arabs have been struggling against one another for centuries. And now you know. But you also know it's going to turn out for the good. God's prophetic truths have a calming effect on our lives when we understand how God's peace will prevail over the warring will of human nature and mankind. When will that time come? It will come when Jesus Christ returns. That's why you need to order your free booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy, and be encouraged that there is a future end to all this bad news. The number to call is 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. And join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. In our free booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation. So call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.